Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have a suggestion or a new name proposed by Sam. Sam is on our team for the flawed argument flaw.
Yeah, Sam does excellent work with our Ask Button team. Ask Button is one of the better features of the Demon. You've got a whole team of tutors, including Sam, that if you email, you write a question in on any of the 10,000 LSAT questions that are all in the LSAT Demon. If you say, hey, I don't understand why XYZ, or I read your written explanation and I still don't understand this one aspect of it, we've got a team of tutors that are going to get back to you within 24 hours. Sam is one of those tutors. There's this flaw on the LSAT that has popped up several times, especially I would say in the last decade or so, that we awkwardly have referred to in the past as the flawed argument flaw, or the flaw of going a step too far. And it's basically where you tell someone why their argument is bad, and then you think that that therefore means that the conclusion of their argument is false.
Yep.
And that's dumb, because, you know, just because they made a dumb argument doesn't prove the opposite of what they were trying to prove. It's on the LSAT, you would have to stop and say, well, you haven't proven your conclusion. Your evidence does not prove your conclusion because of whatever reasons why your conclusion just doesn't have to be true based on your facts. But that doesn't mean that your conclusion is automatically false. Like, I can disregard your argument, maybe, but I'm not going to then therefore conclude the opposite of your conclusion. And we've got...
So can I come up with an example really quick?
Yeah.
And then we'll go into the blue sky name that he came up with.
Yeah.
So for example, today, I'm looking outside right now. It's a very beautiful day. It's the middle of August, so I expect it to be hot, but it's actually like mid 70s.
Nice.
And so... it's such a wonderful day. Therefore, I expect, or therefore, the stock market will go up tomorrow.
And I come in and I say, I'm an LSAT guy. I know that your argument is bad, Ben Olson.
Yeah.
I will grant you your premise that it is a nice day today. But I will not grant you your conclusion that therefore the stock market will go up. And my argument is, the weather has nothing to do with the stock market. Also, the stock market's in New York, not in Virginia. And so, sure. You know, what are you talking about? That was a bad argument. So far, I'm on firm footing, right?
You're
so
doing far, just I, fine. Yeah, my argument is shit. And you've just pointed out why it's shit. And you're right. Yeah.
And then I go, therefore, the stock market will go down today.
Or tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Or tomorrow. Or whatever.
Yeah, it'll go down tomorrow, or it won't go up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, I have now committed what we used to call the flawed argument flaw, where it's like, I called Ben out for making a bad argument. He certainly hasn't proven that the stock market's going to go up. But when I call him out on his bad argument, I don't then therefore get to say, actually, the stock market's going to go down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's your own, like, oh, because I'm a bad... What's a term for that? Is it logician or something?
Logician.
I'm a bad logician. Therefore, the thing I was talking about is not going to come to pass.
It just doesn't prove shit, right? You make a bad argument, you don't prove your conclusion. That's fine. But it also doesn't prove the opposite of your conclusion. And think about how absurd it would be if it did. Because if it did, then all you would have to do to prove any proposition is to make a terrible argument
in favor of the opposite
conclusion. You would then therefore automatically prove anything you wanted to prove. Obviously, it doesn't work that way. We have thanks to Sam, we have a much better way of teaching this whole thing. And it is now, we're going to refer to this as the blue sky flaw. I think that this is a really easy way to understand the flaw. You want to read it?
Sure. So the example we have here is, my brown dog is barking. Therefore, the sky will be blue tomorrow.
Well, that's not actually the blue sky flaw. That's an argument that someone would make that would be a very bad argument.
Exactly.
My brown dog is barking, therefore the sky will be blue tomorrow. That is a terrible argument, obviously. But the flaw on the LSAT would go one step further. it would say, Ben said that his brown dog is barking, therefore the sky will be blue tomorrow. But a brown dog barking has nothing to do with whether the sky will be blue tomorrow. Therefore, the sky won't be blue tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the blue sky flaw.
Yep.
And the reason why blue sky is a useful thing to help teach this flaw is because you could always make that bad argument with any just with it doesn't have to be a brown dog barking. It could be I ran out of coffee this morning, therefore the sky will be blue.
And it's like, oh, your argument's shit, therefore it won't be blue. It's like, no, we can't go in that opposite direction.
All right. Look out for it. It's on lots of it doesn't actually say blue sky, by the way, on the official LSAT. It's just going to make a really dumb argument. And then it's going to say, hey, that was a really dumb argument. And then it's going to be even dumber because it's going to say, therefore, the opposite of that conclusion has to be true.
Yep.
Just keep an eye out for it because they do test it fairly regularly, or at least they have been. Do you agree, Ben, that that's a flaw that has kind of popped up more in the last decade or so? It seems to me that it has.
I don't know if it's come up more, but I do know that people get tripped up in it because they get caught up in the fact that the original argument is flawed and they're jumping all over that. And then it's almost like they miss the fact that the next argument or the real argument that's going on, oh, therefore, because this guy's argument is bad, I'm going to conclude something else in the opposite direction.
Right.
And so then I think they get sidetracked by answer choices that talk about the original flaw. Like, oh, this argument is flawed because just because a dog is barking doesn't mean the sky will be blue. Actually, yeah, that is what's wrong with the original argument. But we're talking about another flaw that's going on here.
Right. The actual speaker in these contexts, the actual speaker is frequently quoting someone else's bad argument. That's kind of how it goes down. It'll be like John says, blah, blah, blah. But that makes no sense. Therefore, and then they just take that leap to the opposite of John's conclusion. And if you only look at it on a surface level, you go, well, yeah, John was a dumbass for making that argument. And then they get you nodding along, right? They get you saying yes to their logic. And then they go that one step further of concluding the opposite of John's conclusion. And you just don't get to do that. John making a bad argument doesn't really prove anything at all.
Yeah.
Certainly not the opposite of John's conclusion.
I mean, this is the same form, but I do think it's worth mentioning. Another way that this often appears is they might point out a study. Right. They talk about some study. Oh, this study was looking at, you know, the effect of eating carrots on, who knows, sleep or something like that.
Yep.
But the study was flawed. Right.
The study used an unrepresentative sample.
Yep. Therefore, carrots don't help you sleep.
Right. That's a great example of what we can call the blue sky flaw. It does need to be. In fact, it might always be. Quoting someone else's argument or a study does the same thing. You know, this study, they did XYZ, they concluded this thing.
Carrots help you sleep or something.
They concluded that carrots help you sleep, but it was a biased sample, or but they did bad math, or but whatever it is that, you know, there's something wrong with that logic. And then they go the one step too far of saying, therefore, carrots don't help you sleep. Which might be true, but it might not be true. And, you know, a bad study that says carrots do help you sleep just does not prove that they don't.
Yeah, we just don't. We're back to square one, right? We just don't know. Okay, well, we don't know anything about carrots right now. We need to look to more studies or do the study again or something like that to figure out what is actually true. So really the conclusion should be, therefore, we don't know what to make of carrots and sleeping.
Yeah, right. And that's the takeaway here is that when someone makes a bad argument, they just don't prove anything at all.
Yep.
You can certainly determine that they have not proven their conclusion, but the fact that they didn't prove their conclusion just does not prove the opposite of that conclusion.
Excellent. Thank you, Sam. And thanks, Brandon, actually, for also bringing that to our attention. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.